2015, the year of visitations, manifestations, and demonstrations of the power of God. It's the year of the open door. This is the award-winning podcast from a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. And now, let's join the special guest host of today's Godcast, Tim McDonald. We now join part two of today's Godcast, already in progress.
There may be people that are further down the path than some of us, but they say, hey, come on, I'm with you. We're on the same path. On the same pathway.
Dave's like, he's like, oh, I want to say something.
Well, really? It was funny that you said that, because I didn't think I was displaying that, but like in my mind and my spirit, I remember this quote. It's like this professor theologian back in the day. His name is Gilbert Chesterton. He said that education is the soul of one generation passing to another.
Mm. Wow.
Okay? So like when you were talking about, like, I was just blown away. You were like, my ceiling is supposed to be Chris's floor. If that education, and obviously not that you're a complete generation away, right? But you're older than Chris, and you're older than I am, right?
Yeah.
But what happens here is, right, you learn all this kind of stuff. And if you go, and you're no longer here, and you did not input that education, that learning process, the things that you learned to next, well, that part of the soul or that identity of the soul just disappears, and it has to be completely relearned again.
Right.
So the importance of education, you know, education of the spirit, education of the workings of God, you know, how to interact with him, the intimacy with him, you know, helping transfer that in that knowledge is like, I don't want to say handing over the baton, because, you know, obviously you're still here, but it's handing another baton, I guess we should say.
Isn't what happened when Elisha, you know, and Elijah, or Elijah.
Yeah, double mantle, man. Received the double mantle.
Right. Not just the education, but walking it out. You know, and that's like, I remember when we were trying to get you to jump on Vox, you're like, I don't know. And then I could tell, I was like, you love Vox, don't you? And you're like, all right, yeah, I love it. You know,
it's like, you actually said, Dave, I know you love Vox, and I know you're smiling right now. And it's funny, because when you said that, I was smiling.
He was trying to poo-poo. The beauty of it is like, the constant communication, like, whenever you want to, you know what I mean? You have access, you ask a question, hey, there's this guy at work, what do I do? You know, and it's like, try this, do this, put this on, say this. And it's like, it's not just the download of information, it's the walking side by side,
right.
Saying, yep. No, not that way, this way. Yeah, you're doing awesome, you know what I mean? Because a couple of times you're like, oh man, I really messed up. I'm like, no, you didn't, that was amazing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, it changes you, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, wow, I thought I messed up, and you're saying I was amazing.
Yeah, brother.
You think that sometimes that you mess up, and that's how I've walked throughout my life, you know, until just a month or two ago, is that, oh, jeez, I really messed up. I'm going to pick myself up now, and I really, really have to go move forward. And then Tim would say, brother, you did awesome. And I'm like, what? I did awesome? Hey, I did do awesome, you know? And you get that mindset. And a lot of times before, when I would think that I would mess up, is that, you know, you think that sometimes when you get a word from God, and maybe you feel wrong about that word, or maybe you feel persecuted by somebody else about that word, standing up in that word and knowing that it comes from the Lord, knowing that it comes from God. I am such a debater, and I am such a scientific thinker, but sometimes it isn't really about winning debates. Don't be a striver. I mean, it's not about that, because the Lord will come to reveal himself when he does. And that's just the bottom line there. And it took me so long to really realize that. And what's funny is this. I realized it when I stopped working so hard at it, and I just rested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, the Lord seems to bring, like, strivers, fellow strivers to me, because I was, like, the king of strivers. And so it's just fun, because I know how to treat strivers. I know, you know, like, what it looks like, what I had to go through. So I can so shortcut like so much of your walk and just cut all that out. It's like, let me save you some time, you know. Right. It's like the fast track at Disney, you know. It's like, no, don't, you know, sign up here.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
And we can get you going so much further, so much faster, because it doesn't have to be pretty. We think, especially as a striver, it's got to be perfect. You know, when I stand on the Word of God, it's got to be, like, full of joy, and, you know, I got to have, you know, and this and that, and yeah. all of our...
Got to quote it the right way.
Yeah, you got to quote it the right way, but sometimes it's just like, I mean, standing is like, you know, Paul says, after you've done everything else, just stand.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, even if you're just white-knuckling it, it's like, man, the Father is so proud when you, like, you stood, because it's tough.
Oh, man.
You're faced with a decision, well, I can go this way, or I can go that way.
That's right.
Right.
A lot of times we just blow right through the stop sign because we want to do what we want to do. We were even talking today on the box about, you know, just standing on the Word, and just even standing on the Word produces fruit because you're saying no to the old self.
And you told me, Chris, standing up doesn't have to be pretty. You don't have to stand up perfectly on both your feet the entire time. You just stand up and you get back up when you fall down.
Amen. Well, what's cool too, I just wanted to point out, if you weren't so what do you think what do you think your reaction would have been? What do you think would have happened to you if, say, you weren't coming out to Starbucks on a regular basis, you weren't talking to Tim and everybody on Vox?
What would happen is something similar that I talked to Tim about about a week or so ago, is that when I read a scripture in the Bible and I don't understand it and it doesn't make sense to me, and it sounds very negative, or it may come across as, oh man, I'm being condemned in this verse, or I'm being condescended in this verse. And you know, it wasn't until I really began to talk to you guys that you have to really take the text of whatever version of the Bible that you have, related to the Hebrew text, related to who it was being said to, the culture of that time, and there are a lot of factors that really play into that, and what parables actually really mean. Because people, if they really want to, they can interpret the Bible in very hateful and condescending ways. And I would read that and say, oh, that doesn't make any sense, and I would get angry, and I would get upset. I remember boxing Tim, and I said, Tim, this doesn't make any sense. I don't understand why this is, you know, how this is so. I guess I'm condemned. And he said, Chris, listen, you're not condemned. Just relax, man. Relax. This really means this, and that really means that. Now take it easy. It's okay. Mm. But what you told me to do is stay in the Father's love letter, is what you told me to do. And as I've been really immersing myself in this Father's love letter, which you can download online, it's been really amazing. I mean, I literally am taking the first couple of lines and reading them line by line of the Father's love letter after I wake up in the morning, and just going about my day. Things such as, I see when you sit down and when you rise up. You may not know me, but I know everything about you. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. What do you see in me? Why me? That's one thing that I would always ask is, why me? Why do you know everything about me? What makes me so special? And you would always say, because I am his adopted son. And when I really let that sink into me, I operate right now in a state of so much love. All they really want to do is just love people. That's really what I really want to do. I don't need to condemn anybody. I don't need to judge anybody. I don't need to say, well, I'm saved and you're not. I don't need to say that. I just, hey, man, I love you. I'm here for you. I'll give a word if I feel that the time is right, but you know what? When it boils down to the nitty-gritty, that's what we really are here for, is to love each other. Love the Lord and love each other. And that's what I got from that.
Amen, bro. That's a good word. Hey, Dave, I wanted to ask you, there was something Chris was sharing in the Godcast. I can't exactly remember, but do you remember the one that...
Playful Father?
You? Was it the Playful Father one?
Remind me. I mean, I can help you
out. But I just want to play. Yeah. When God refers to...
You guys can't see it, but he had like such a like awesome reaction. I just want
to... I think maybe it was the teacher vision that I had. Jesus standing in a classroom, and you had a comment about this when I was talking about it at Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
Standing in a classroom, and there were kids running around. There were kids fighting, kids crying, kids screaming. And Jesus was standing there, and just, he had emotion there, but he just said, hey, settle. Settle. It's okay. Quiet down. Settle down. And I think you had a comment about that during the
story. Yeah,
was
that the one you were talking about?
No, sorry, but...
That's okay. I mean, I can talk about that, but...
No, whatever. Yeah, you had I do remember that. That was a Starbucks one of those Monday nights,
yeah.
And you had a really good word, I think.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, more or less, you know, for those that are out there, you know, I'm a high school teacher, and, you know, one of the things that, you know, is probably one of the most dangerous things in a classroom is when you have kids behaving.
Which would be surprising.
Behaving. What do I mean by behaving, right? We don't want them, like, jumping off the roof.
I didn't hear that because I was like, huh?
Yeah. Hence the dramatic pause, right? Behaving. No, what I mean by behaving is that, you know, when you have, you know, so many people think, you know, especially if they come from a traditional conservative kind of Christian background, right, that God wants us to be that kid in school, you know, straight back, hands folded with the apple on the desk for the for the teacher, you know, a.k.a. Jesus, and just there, quiet, ready to listen, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a very kind of like, you know, Western kind of Victorian era kind of mentality, which is kind of interesting because my and I might want to go on a tangent here, but my big thing is like trying to begin to pull out some of our like kind of Western Hellenistic views of scriptures and kind of taking that and putting it back into its, you know, Middle Eastern Hebraic context. So there's a bit of like educational kind of thing there, but sorry, it was like a rabbit trail.
No, that's okay, because Dave knows all about it. He's about to go down to Rick Pino's school and teach on
some of that Hebraic context. But
awesome.
Some of you guys can pray for me later about that. It's next week, but sorry for the tangent, but. Oh, man, I'm like all pumped up for that.
Amen, brother. I love it.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm just, you know, Lord, just have this make sense for those that are listening. Like, you know, in the Middle East, right, I mean, it's just complete chaos. They're, like, people talk with their hands, they're always pushing into each other, it's loud, it's lively, it's like, you know, you think of an Italian family, you know, I know that's like Mediterranean, but it's more or less the same thing, right? Things are real loud, right? You know, but many of us growing up in this conservative kind of background, we take that very like Puritan-esque kind of thing, like, you know, it is now time to behave. And what I'm saying is, as a teacher, when I come into a classroom and I have a classroom that's like that, it's going to take me half the year to say, like, that's not okay. It's not okay. You're not an automaton that sits there that just receives information without engagement, without talking, without getting a little rowdy. Like, the Lord wants a little rowdiness, right? He wants a little life. You know, not rowdiness for sin, but rowdiness of life, right?
Yeah.
So when I come into a classroom and there's a spark of life, you know, there's energy, there's people that are questioning, there's people that are loud, there's people that are jumping, you know, not jumping around a little bit, and hopefully my principal is listening, right? But they're jumping out, right? What I'm getting at here is you see that people are engaging. They want to be there. They want to engage. There's the curiosity. There's the exploration, right?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I mean,
what does that do for you as a teacher?
Oh, as a teacher, my heart warms up, and I feel the energy. You know, I feel the Holy Spirit. You know, even teaching in a secular environment, I feel the Holy Spirit just rise up in me, like, teach those kids. You know? And I just feel them come into me, just like, you know, teach. You know, teach. There's actually a famous educational book actually called Teach Like Your Hair Is on Fire. Right? So there's this feeding. So, you know, the kind of viewpoint is, you know, people get confused of what order is. And I think it's right what I said, right? That people get confused what appropriate order is. It was said to me years ago by a preacher that do not confuse the order of the nursery with the order of the graveyard. Now, you go to a graveyard, it's ordered, man. Everyone's got their stones on there with their names, and it is quiet. But it's also dead.
That's right.
Wow.
But in the nursery, there's life. And when you go into a nursery in the hospital, man, you got kids with all different skin tones, all different kind of hair color. You have male, female. You got a kid over there that's sleeping like it's the best sleep of his like 1 week life. And then you have another kid over screaming and all this kind of stuff. But here's the reality: there's order. There's order, right? It's just a different type of order. And so, you know, with all this being said, you know, I think a lot of us that come from a certain background, like we're kind of like, well, I need to behave. I need to behave.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you take a look at our fathers, our spiritual fathers, Isaiah wasn't behaving. You know, Peter wasn't behaving. And what I mean by behaving, I mean behaving within the cultural context of what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, yep.
Right? Yeah. The Lord wants, you know, people who are going to be, you know, pushing culture a little bit, you know? And the Lord, you know, I know there's personality temperaments, there's people that are extroverts, there are people that are introverts. The Lord uses it all.
That's good.
But to think that you need to be
that's a good word.
That person that just sits at the desk and is almost too afraid to question and to engage, it's a very dangerous thing. In fact, in education, just as a teacher, you would say, it's at that place where learning is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening. So when there is engagement, when there is interaction, that's where learning occurs. And that's the reality. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you know, they all want to engage us. Right. And they want us to engage him. I mean, just, you know, read the Song of Solomon, you know? I mean, can't get much more entangled and engaged than that kind of allegory, symbolism of a man and his future bride. I mean, you know, there's...
Sure.
He wants to engage us.
Could you say that's like engaged is not like intimacy? Is that...
Yeah, engagement. Yeah, absolutely. About? You know, intimacy, and questions, and man, David, it says, Lord, my soul is vexed. Right? I don't even know what vexed means. Does anyone out there know what
that's fun to say. That.
It's cool to say. But man, Psalm chapter 40, right? David is like, oh my soul. Like, David is speaking to his spiritual soul man. And he's, oh my soul, why are you disquieted within me? Rise up, for your hope comes from God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not someone who's just going to sit and take the lashes. That's someone who's going to stand and say, my soul is vexed. I'm coming before him, you know? Yeah. I'm going to wrestle with them, right? Yeah. Jacob wrestles, receives his name Israel, right?
Yeah.
And walks with a limp, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a cool kind of thing. Like, what's your limp? Right?
What's your limp?
What's my limp? You know, what's the thing that you wrestle with God and he left his mark, you know?
That's right, yeah.
So, you know.
All right, you want to know what vex means?
Yeah, what does vex mean?
Wait, let's see if it...
Vex. That didn't sound right.
Yeah, you're right. I made that translation.
Vex. The state of being vexed.
Okay, number one. To bring trouble, distress, or agitation. Mm. To bring physical distress. Headache. Vexed him all morning. To imitate or annoy by petty provocations. To shake or toss about.
Okay.
So don't... Yeah, don't vex. So don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Now that we know what it is.
Now that we know what we do
it. Also, it says don't vex the Holy Spirit, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's the only one of the...
Yeah, it's the only one. And it doesn't say that about the Son or the Father. It's right. Only the Holy Spirit.
You know, I do want to say this, because as Chris was talking, you know, it's just totally been on my heart. And, you know, I mentioned it, I think, once at the group. But, you know, Psalm 133, you know... Now, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And everyone and their brother, we know that scripture verse, and we stop there. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Mm-hmm. But it keeps going.
Yeah.
And it says, for it is like the anointing oil that would drip down on the beard of Aaron.
Mm. Right.
Like anointing oil, like to anoint, Mashiach. That's where you get Messiah from. The anointed one. When brothers come together, there's the anointing of the Messiah that's among us, that's just dripping upon us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It is like the dew on Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is the northernmost and really like the only real mountain in Israel. It's on the Lebanese border of today, right?
Right.
And it's like one of the few places in Israel where there's actually snow. But that Mount Hermon, right, that dew and that snow that's there, when it you know, rains down the mountain, it goes down and it actually feeds the Jordan River.
Huh.
Right? The Jordan River is like the main fresh water source for Israel, both modern and ancient. And it's the place where John the Baptist and Jesus were being baptized, and they're baptizing people, right? Wow. And then it goes on to say at the very end, right, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For it is like the anointing oil that was upon the beard of Aaron, the priest, right? And it is like the dew that was on Mount Hermon. And then it says, and it is there, that God commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
Right.
Like, what? Wow. Like, when the brethren come together, it's the everlasting covenant of God.
Yeah.
It's here in our midst.
That's right.
That the anointing is here. That the dew, that which gives water, that which gives life, is here.
That's right.
And it's the place where God commands the blessing.
Yeah.
The blessing of life.
It's
forevermore.
It's already here. It's already here.
Woo!
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, that all comes from, you know.
It fires me up, man.
Let's get brothers it. And brothers dwelling together.
Yeah.
In unity.
That's it.
In unity.
It's right here. I mean, the whole aspect of unity and love is already right here. There's nothing in this world that is more powerful than love. Nothing. I mean, it's love. It's not war. It's not. Yeah. I can't think of you know anything. It's just love. Love to me is a more powerful in terms of a force, and you know, love to me is more powerful than any other force, you know, in this world. If you know, love, I think you know, it's It's love. That's really, to me, what it really is. And to be with each other, I think that a lot of the time when you talk about that dude that goes into the Jordan River, and you talk about that life, that those waters of life, a lot of times this world can seem very dry, and a lot of times this world can seem like a lot of things are wrong. A lot of things are just wrong in this world, and they are. I'm not saying they're not. They are, because it certainly is out there. But when you look at the compassion of people, and you look at the good nature of people, all you have to do is turn around, and there's a whole other mountain behind you. Remember, I could remember another vision that I've had. I know it's like, geez, kid, what's with these visions? but I'm telling you, I mean, these standing on a mountain and kind of looking at an abyss and looking there, and to me, I knew in my head and in my heart, when I was looking at this abyss, I've been looking at this abyss my entire life, and all I had to do was turn around. I turn around, and there's a whole other mountain behind me that I have to climb, and I'm like, whoa. That's a big mountain, and you go up that mountain, and there's a lot that can be up there, but sometimes when things that happen to you negatively, if you're persecuted, if you're going through a really hard time, it's so easy to look at that hard time, because it's right there. The enemy say, hey, pay attention to this, look at that, and then you forget that you have, hey, I have water right now, you know, I have food in my refrigerator, I have people that love me, friends and family that love me, and you can forget, it's so easy to forget that when all you have to do is turn around and look at that mountain behind you. And it wasn't until, you know, it took me a long time to realize that, and that's a part of being a part of that brotherhood, you know, David, yeah. You described. That's a part of that, because that life is right there, because it's like there's a veil over our eyes throughout our lives, at least not for all of us, I know, but I think it can get there. That veil can cover your eyes if you're not paying attention. I think that it
yeah, can, and here, you know, going like full circle here, you know, like, you know, completing that circle and everything we're talking about, you know, in this dryness and stuff, and it really comes from, well, a multitude of things, but, you know, when sons don't have fathers, when brothers don't have brothers, when sisters don't have sisters, there's no hine matov, there's no how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's not there because they don't have it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we live in a society that... we live in a sea of information. And we live in a sea of social media.
Yep.
But yet we're still alone. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. You can feel that.
We're still alone. We know of the trivial things, but we don't know about the things that really matter. Mm-hmm. And there are people that are walking this earth that are just walking. And there is this allure, right, of the friendships. There's the allure of my 2,000 Facebook likes. There's the allure of, you know, the number of people that are following my Twitter feed. There's the allure of all this kind of stuff that a lot of young people are faced with. Yeah. But it's all an illusion, right? We need the brothers, the fathers, the mothers, the daughters, sisters, right, to come into that community again, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, community, a congregation of people, right? Ecclesia, you know, that's all, you know, coming together, you know, but people are, you know, we're all busy working our, you know, 60, 70 hours a week or doing this, that, and your thing, and they don't get to do this.
You know, one saying that I always hated, and this is just coming from me personally, is, you know, whenever I meet a friend, and I said this too, I mean, so I'm kind of talking about, you know, my own experiences, is that I meet a friend, like a best friend, after 4 years, and he says, hey man, what have you been doing? And that friend would say something is along the lines of, oh, you know, well, life got in the way. And I said, and I always just didn't like that saying, life got in the way, because, you know, life never really has to be in the way. Because I think that in terms of, and again, I'm speaking personally in my own personal experiences, is that, you know, I've always really had such a habit of, when I graduated from college, I really wanted to make money. And, you know, when I had graduated, when I had, you know, been in sports, I always wanted to be the best. And I focused so much on doing this, is that it was so easy to forget about my relationships when they were there the entire time. And it really is those relationships that really got me through life. We need each other. And, you know, and we're here to be to be with each other. And it took me, you know what, it took me 20 some years to realize that and understand that officially, and I'm just happy to be where I am now.
Man, so could you say what you focus on
gets bigger?
Gets bigger.
That's right. How about that?
That should be like my MO, you know what I mean? Like,
whatever. Make you a t-shirt that says that, brother. Right.
When I just draw it into every single
on
topic.
The chest, it's going to say what you focus on the back, it's going to say it gets bigger.
I've been saying to my friends now.
Wow, you guys, boy, you just had to, like, you know, get the motor started, and you were just, like, going crazy. That was awesome.
That's really awesome.
That was really
awesome. I'm ministered to by Dave. I mean, it's like, I've been having this thought, apart from the word that you shared in Psalms, was just that, you know, community really attracts heaven. It attracts the entire Godhead. I mean, they're in community, right?
Yeah.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's in community with himself. And there's just something about, like you were saying, the unity of the brethren, you know, being united. And I think it's, you know, with the one focus, like what you focus on gets bigger. And I think we're focused on, you know, the thing that,
intimacy
yeah. with the Father and viewing identity, and I mean all the things that you guys are talking about. I mean, so it's just ministers to me just
awesome.
to hear what you have to say.
Since you guys started coming to Vox, does it feel like you've been growing? I mean, not
yeah,
Vox,
absolutely.
But I mean to the group. Right? I mean, it's that running that just accelerates things, right?
That's
it's you get around hungry people, you stay hungry, you become even more hungry.
Yeah,
you know, you look at somebody and say, I want that fruit. I mean, what are they doing in life that they're just so happy? You know, and you know that's at least what I had originally thought coming to this group, and it's so funny because it's intimacy and it's right there.
So we're gonna wrap.
Dave's like bursting at the seams, bro. About a video.
That's all time for we have for this week.
That's right.
You have to submit to the oh.
Absolutely have to.
When you get like a you have to be like you have to submit to that. You have to stop talking. You know?
What I believe that the Lord is saying is that one of the reasons why the power of brotherhood is so awesome and is so meaning, is so godly, because it is restoring. It is restoring and taking back and getting rid and recorrecting the sin of Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
Look, man, this is the second sin that was done in all eternity. The second one. And the Lord is just saying, see, you're restoring that. You see what happened, right? Abel gives up a sacrifice that seems to be even better, right? And Cain is upset about that. So there's a jealousy on spiritual matters. Mm-hmm. There's a jealousy that is there. It's the sin. It's the spirit of Cain over Abel. And what God is saying is, here, you, me, right? We could be the Cains. We could say, why, God, are you blessing Tim and Josh and Frank in such great ways and doing all this kind of stuff? And we could grow jealous and we could grow prideful and all of this kind of stuff. But what's happening here is we're saying, no, you see, you know, we could be the Cains, but you see, we've been restored. You see, the sin has been taken away. He's my brother and I love him. Yeah. I love him. And I'm not going to allow the spirit of Cain to fall on this relationship. And the Lord is saying, you're restoring this. You're not going down that path. You're not doing what Cain did. You could be disheartened and beaten down because you're not at the same place. But God is saying, just like you said to Cain, why are you upset, Cain? And you respond and you're like, well, I'm not upset. I'm actually looking at this as an encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Cain could have done that, but he didn't.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's why I think there's such power.
Amen. Amen. Well, you can see it too in the story of the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Like the older son is, you know, on the outside of the party looking in because he can't receive the fact that his younger son, who was wayward, comes home and now he's being blessed. Why are you blessing him? He did all this. He squandered this as inheritance. I mean, he did everything wrong and now you're blessing him and I slaved my whole life and you never gave me anything. But when you have that kind of mentality, you're on the outside looking in because you can't embrace. And that's the poverty mindset. The poverty mindset keeps the blessing from the Lord coming upon you. That's the only thing that could keep it from coming on you. But I mean, it also puts you on the outside of the party looking in because you're whining and complaining.
Yeah.
So if you want to be blessed, bless the guy that's getting blessed.
Exactly.
So until next week, remember this: we love you, God loves you,
and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.